Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air.
Happy New Year!
Welcome to the first program in the year 2013, Realistic New Year's Resolutions. Well, it's nice to see all of you, our panelists of teachers here, as we begin the year 2013. Welcome to 2013, Naomi.
Thank you so much, Doris. Welcome back. Now, we also have one other person in the studio. Bill, welcome to 2013.
Oh, it's wonderful to be here. I feel refreshed and renewed. It's a brand new year. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, I hope that all of you, as well as those who are listening in, have made some really good New Year's resolutions. You know, even after all these years, I still try to make a few. Do you still try to make some, Bill?
Oh, yeah. I try to make at least one or two for every New Year. Give me a goal, something to aim for.
What about you, Neil?
I'm a little bit afraid of New Year's resolutions because often when I make them, I don't succeed.
I
get a little discouraged by that.
But, you know, sometimes people make them and we're going to find out how we can be more realistic about them. So if you made some last night or last week and you're going to try to start them in today, maybe this lesson will be a help to you.
I hope so. I think a lot of us make very big New Year's resolutions. Things like, I want to save the world. You know, I mean, we get these big ideas of what would be ideal for us to accomplish, what would be the best thing. But actually, that's not always very realistic. It doesn't always really make sense.
Or lose 20 pounds. Maybe only 3 would be enough.
Yeah, right.
What about you, Bill?
Well, it's funny you mentioned about maybe people making them last night because we had talked about that before the program. And I think a lot of people do that. Maybe they just kind of let it slip their mind or they don't think about it until the last moment. It's like, I have to decide on something. Well, maybe take a little bit more time, put some more thought into it. It's January 1st. If you don't have your new resolution, don't worry. We'll give you a couple of days. So there's no deadline on this.
Well, you know, a lot of people might even have the day off, so you can think about it. I hope you're listening in, even if you have the day off today, and you're going to open your magazines or look at your iPad, whatever you're doing there. We're going to look at page 10. We're going to start out reading about realistic New Year's resolutions, and it tells us underneath the title to
take it one day at a time, because every step counts.
So let's starting the year off right, let's start in right now.
Realistic New Year's resolutions. Take it one day at a time. Every step counts. Starting the year off right. So, you've made a New Year's resolution to get healthy. No doubt you've banished all cookies and chips from the house and plan to hit the gym every single day. Let's get real. In 3 months, you're going to be comatose on the sofa with a telltale ring of orange Cheetos crumbs around your mouth. Most people start off the new year by making grand sweeping changes, and the changes never stick. What does stick? Thinking small, setting modest, attainable goals, and slowly chalking up petite successes as you steadily build confidence.
All right, Doris, I like this. We're starting the year off right. That's our first reading here, and we begin with the sentence, so you've made a New Year's resolution to get healthy. Well, that's a very popular resolution for everybody, whether it's exercise or lose weight or have a better diet.
Well, when people think about getting healthy, one of the things they think about is, I'm going to eat in a more healthy way, more vegetables, not so many cookies and potato chips and things like that.
I make that resolution almost every week.
Mm-hmm.
But it is hard. It's hard to stick to it, of course, because there's always the temptation to have a little snack. And the second sentence here gives us an example of one of the things people do to try to avoid that temptation. No doubt you've banished all cookies and chips from the house. If you banish someone from something, it means you say, get out. You're not allowed back in here.
That's right. But they might get back in anyway next time you go to the supermarket. But what else then do you plan to do besides not eat any sweetening, fattening things? What else?
I like this. We plan to hit the gym every single day. So when we say plan to hit something, that means in this case, we're going to go there every day. So when we hit the gym, we're going to go there every day. And that's really kind of unrealistic.
I noticed the way that this writer writes, they've used some very colorful verbs. We're going to find this throughout here. Didn't you think so, Naomi?
I do agree. And a lot of expressions that I find are quite common even in spoken English. So hopefully that will be useful for you. And a great example is that next sentence. Let's get real. My mother likes to say this. She'll say, Naomi, get real. When I'm saying something that sounds a little bit, maybe a little too good to be true, or I have some ideas that don't really make sense, she'll say, oh, get real. Be honest with me. Tell me the real reality, the truth.
They could say be realistic even. Mm-hmm. The word realistic is often used.
Yeah.
But to make it short, to say get real.
So we've got these great goals here of banishing cookies and hitting the gym every day. But the problem is for most people, in 3 months, we're going to be comatose on the sofa. And comatose is that is actually the state of somebody being in a coma.
I don't think it quite means that. I think she's being a little bit over, using these words.
Yes, we
stronger.
We exaggerate things sometimes, say, I'm comatose, and we're not exactly totally unconscious, but we're nearly unconscious. We're just laying there with the remote controller, and we're just changing channels.
We do that in all languages. You know, like we say, well, Ursula, I'm going to die.
Right.
I'm dying for something to eat. But, we're not really Ursula. So
of course. But I might say this. If I'm trying to wake up my sister and she won't wake up, I'll say, oh, I think she's comatose. not really, of course.
Yeah.
But, when someone is really just relaxing, not moving at all.
But then what are they talking about, this telltale rings? I mean, something tells you that person's been eating something.
Sure. If I told Naomi I had these great goals of losing weight and exercising, and then she would come in to, visit me at my apartment, she would be like a police detective. She would look at the table in front of the couch and say, aha, here's the evidence, the telltale sign, the telltale ring of Cheeto crumbs. She could see by the evidence that I had been eating terrible food.
Cheetos sounds kind of good. They're sort of a crispy kind of a cheese chip that are nice.
Yes, they're crunchy. They're quite fun to eat, and they make your fingers and your mouth quite orange. So people can usually tell if you've been eating them. I tend to have more of a problem with chocolate bar wrappers, telltale chocolate bar wrappers in the garbage can.
Well, and they also have zero nutritional value, Doris. And
right,
so this doesn't fit into any constructive New Year's resolutions in any way.
Well, at least here it says in 3 months. I mean, at least this person's trying for 2 or 3 months. I'd say in about 2 or 3 weeks or a few days, right? So, you try to keep your resolutions. But most people do start off by making these great, big, wonderful resolutions. They're grand, sweeping. No more ice cream. Oh, my.
Right.
No more potato chips. No more That's kind of maybe too much. Maybe you should say a little bit once a week or something.
Right,
like
exactly.
That.
So that idea of a grand sweeping change, you can think of someone taking a big paintbrush and sort of painting a large area in a big sweeping motion. It's this idea that this goal is so big, there's no way you can achieve it.
And so the changes are great, but they don't stick. They don't last. So what can we do that does last or stick?
Well, we see that in the next sentence there in line 17, thinking small. So setting modest, attainable goals, Doris, that is the way for us to go.
Attainable means something that you can actually do. You can attain means you can reach up to that. And then look at this other way they talk here about this verb of chalking up something. How do you chalk up successes? What does that mean?
Well, if you slowly chalk up those successes, I think of a teacher, you know, keeping score on a blackboard. She takes her chalk and she says, okay, 1 point, here's another point, here's another one. So I actually do this. I actually, when I have a day where I've reached my goals, I will actually chalk it up. I'll take a marker and write it on my paper, you know, and say, yes, I accomplished this small goal today. And so that helps me look at my progress and say, okay, I'm not doing it perfectly. I'm not reaching those goals every day, but I can chalk up these small, petite successes.
I'd like to ask you, Naomi, if you don't reach your goals, do you write it down? I didn't do it today. Do you chalk that up too or not?
Then I erase it all and I have to start over again.
Start all over again.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So you want to steadily, though, build the confidence and do it slowly, step by step. Isn't that right?
Well, yeah.
I think we should read on and see what the second column tells us. Let's read down through line 15.
We're guilty of that all-or-nothing mentality in so many areas of our lives, says Jessica Matthews, an exercise physiologist. We have to be doing something at 100 miles an hour or not at all. If you want to ramp up physical activity but are currently about as energetic as a tree sloth on a slow day, you'd be better off adding easy routines, even something as minor as parking far away from your destination. Dietary first steps can also be ridiculously small, says San Francisco-based registered dietitian Manuel Villacorta. The person who eats no fruits or vegetables might add one serving a week. Those who never cook can make a simple, healthful meal from a prepared roasted chicken, frozen rice, and canned beans.
Oh, that all or nothing mentality, I'm telling you. I think a lot of us have some of that in us. I'm really going to do it, and I'm going to really get right down. If I haven't been swimming for a long time, I'm going to swim 15 times across the pool. Oh, after 5 times, I give it up. So I think maybe the all or nothing mentality is not the best for us.
You know, Doris, I was thinking about why do we think like this? It's all or nothing. And I think we let a lot of outside forces impact our thinking. We look at other people that are, you know, having success in certain areas, and we want that same level of success, and we don't really understand. It took them a long time and many small steps to get to that level. And so that's why we get this all-or-nothing mentality.
Yeah, I think what Jessica Matthews, this exercise physiologist, is saying makes a lot of sense. She says, we have to be doing something at 100 miles an hour or not at all. And I have noticed this for myself with exercise. I'll set goals, and if I'm not able to reach that goal, I'll just give up for the day or give up for the week instead of kind of changing my goal to a smaller one. And I think that's really too bad that people feel this way.
Well, I think we get encouraged by saying you need to do this so many times a day. And then we think, well, maybe I need to work up to it instead of just trying to do it all at once. That's good.
Yeah. Well, that's what this is about, building up on smaller steps.
And you notice here that in line 5, there's if you want to ramp up physical activity, if you want to speed it up a little bit, and then I like the example they give, but you're not really very energetic. I mean, you really want to do it, but you are kind of lazy. And they use this thing as a tree sloth on a slow day. If you've ever seen pictures of sloths, they're about the slowest thing in the world. They're down in the Amazon and Brazil and that area. They're very cute,
they
are so slow. And we have a lot of idioms to talk about lazy as a sloth. They're really about the slowest things on earth. They climb very slowly.
So this is a great metaphor to show that someone is really moving very, very slowly.
As a sloth on a slow day.
Yeah, they mostly just hang out anyway. They don't move that much to begin with.
Yeah, right. Well, you'd be better off, you know, adding easy routines, something simple. And what is the first example they gave us here, Bill, that you could do?
I really like this. Even something as minor as parking far away from your destination. And you know, if you are driving a car, you're going to the shopping mall or to your workplace, whatever it is, you know, we have this tendency to look for the spot that is close as possible. We actually will circle around for 20 minutes trying to find that close spot when we could actually just park 100 or 200 meters away and be there, you know, in a quick time.
Yeah, but, you know, I give myself a good excuse because what if it rains and I don't want to walk in the rain to my car, Bill? So we can kind of make up little excuses, can't we?
Rationalization.
Yes. Yeah, I do this with public transportation as well. I'll actually get off at a stop early and then walk a little ways. Or when I could take a bus for 5 minutes, I'll walk for 15 instead. And I find it helps me just stay more active. I'm getting a little more physical activity every day. And so those very, very small changes to your habits can really help a lot.
So that's for your physical exercise. And the second thing we always say, we're going to eat better, eat well. So we have these dietary things that have to do with what we eat every day. So the very first steps, you can do just little tiny steps. This is what this dietitian, one who studies that, Manuel Villacorta, said. What did they say?
Well, dietary steps can be ridiculously small. And actually, what that means is smaller than what you think they have to be. And for instance, say you go to McDonald's and get a hamburger and French fries, and that's part of your regular routine. And maybe instead of eating all the French fries, just cut out maybe a third of the French fries in the beginning and then gradually work up to eliminating them altogether. So
yeah, don't really eat small. All the bread on the hamburger.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. So Mr. Villacorta is saying, you know, we don't need to necessarily totally rearrange our complete diet right away. Try making those small adjustments. We continue by saying, for example, the person who eats zero fruits and vegetables might add one serving a week. That's a very, very small step, but it's something you can actually do.
Well, and if you think, well, I'm not good at cooking and I can't make all these things that are good for you to eat, you can have a very simple meal. You can get a prepared roasted chicken. You can almost always buy them in supermarkets and every place, and you can get a roasted chicken. And you can have something like frozen rice and canned beans. There's all kinds of foods now that are pre-prepared. You just put them in your microwave. You don't have to be a great cook in order to have a simple meal.
You know, Doris, like I mentioned in the beginning of this reading, I think we look at other people and we think, oh, they're doing such great things. I'd have to do that. For instance, this cooking thing just made me think about there are so many cooking shows on TV, and these expert chefs are making everything from scratch, and it's artistic, and they're wonderful, and they went to culinary school for decades. You don't have to do that.
Right.
To prepare your own meal.
To me, this is a great example of what we started this paragraph with, that all or nothing mentality. When I, you know, when I do cook at home, I tend to put a lot of pressure on myself to make it something really, really fabulous with excellent ingredients and something that my mother would be proud of. And, you know, and I think it's unnecessary, actually. I can make it a little more simple and enjoy it just as much.
Or you can make a large proportion of something and put it in your refrigerator and just heat it up the next day. You know, you can do things like that. You don't have to always be cooking all the time. We don't have a lot of time to do that nowadays.
Yeah, and I think because of this all or nothing mentality, you know, our society's moved to eating out all the time and picking up food on the run or out in the marketplace. And really, this would be healthy to shift away from that, because what you can do is you can actually control especially how many fats and oils go into the meals.
And how much salt, too.
And salt. Mm. And that would be really good for you to just do some of this preparation at home.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah, and I find once you get into the habit, you know, you find a few easy recipes that you know how to make, you feel confident about, and that are easy, then you can kind of go from there. If you enjoy that, you can take another small step, and maybe you will be a master chef in no time.
Well, that sounds very realistic, but why should we have these small steps? We've already mentioned it a little bit, but let's see what the one who wrote this article said as we look at the last section of today's article on page 10.
Why small steps? When you drastically cut out all fattening foods, you may bust out with a great big binge. Exercise too much, and your unaccustomed muscles can suffer overuse injuries such as strains and sprains. Or even more likely, psychological burnout sets in. Before even the first tiny step is taken, people need to forge a plan to make sure it happens, says Marion Jacobs, a psychologist in private practice in California. Change is a process.
Well, we talked about when you try to just do everything all at once, we could say that's very drastic. It's very severe, you know. And when you drastically cut out all of the fattening foods, you might all of a sudden say, oh, I can't take this any longer. I'm going to order all these things I've been wanting to eat. And you kind of bust out. Here's another very descriptive word here. You say, okay, I'm just going to go get a whole quart of ice cream instead of one little scoop, you know.
Yeah.
You really bust out with a great big binge. And it's very easy to binge if you get, you know, psychologically tuned into it.
I think of this a little bit like putting yourself in a box with your diet, you know, and then on the weekend maybe you jump out of the box and you think, that's it, I'm busting out of these restrictions and I'm going to eat as much as I want of something for a day. And that's not really very healthy. Actually, it can mean that you don't make any progress.
Mm-hmm. So that word binge, we just go over the top, way over what is really healthy for us in so many ways when you binge on something.
Well, then sometimes if you exercise too much, it's not really good for you because your muscles have to work up to it. You know those people that have sports, that play games, so they're always out doing a little bit of exercise every day. They don't just go and run for a big football or basketball game. And the same way with us. I think, Naomi, you said you tried to do that one time. You just took a great big hike all of a sudden when you hadn't been hiking for a while. Mm-hmm. What happened?
I got very tired. And actually, I think I brought on a bit of a cold by doing that because I kind of weakened my body. But I've also done this with a more traditional exercise where I push myself too hard and then my knee will start to hurt or I sprain an ankle or something like that. You really need to be careful. It's actually much healthier to take those small steps.
Well, and not only that, you know, there's just what they call psychological burnouts. If I try too much, I'll say, oh, I can't do this. I'm just not going to do any exercise at all. It just doesn't do me any good. Then you just burn out. And burnout is a term we hear quite a bit.
Well, I think of, for instance, with work, I hear burnout a lot. People that I've grown up with, I've known, I've worked with in the business world, a lot of people will burn out, whether it's a business or in medicine or law. And what that means is they're working way too much, way more than they should, and they just reach a point where they just don't even have any emotional energy anymore.
Yeah, burnout is a bad thing, isn't it?
It is. Often we talk about someone needing to take time off from something because they've worked themselves so hard, put so much pressure on themselves. And I think this can happen with exercise and diet very easily. You set these very high goals and then you stress yourself out trying to reach them for a little while. No one can keep up with that if they haven't sort of built up to it.
I think that's true with a lot of things in our life. Like this last paragraph, it says, change is process. Learning a language is a process. You're not going to just say, I'm going to understand every word in this lesson. You have to just take a few words every day. But you have to forge a plan. Let's learn a word every day. Let's walk a little further every day. Let's eat one more vegetable. Do it one step at a time.
Yeah. So when you forge a plan, you're coming up with a strategy and some steps, a technique for you to reach that point. So that comes from Marion Jacobs, a psychologist.
Right. And it sounds like she's basically asking us to back up, saying, okay, you made some resolutions. Wait. Hold on. Go back a step. Before you even start, you need to think about, okay, what's my plan here?
Well, in fact, Doris, I think this change as a process is an example we see here in our feature for today.
Happy New Year, Sandy. Did you celebrate with your family?
Yes, I did. We had a nice dinner, and then we went to see the fireworks at Taipei 101. How about you, Mike?
I was a bit of a tree sloth. I just watched TV all New Year's Eve, then was a couch potato on New Year's Day, watching football games.
Well, that's okay, for one day. Do you have any resolutions for the new year?
I need to lose some of this weight I gained during the holidays. I ate like crazy.
Me too. I binged on my mom's cooking since I live alone and don't get to eat with my family very often.
My goal is to lose 20 pounds in 1 month. I just need to get back on track with my exercise program.
I'm not sure losing 20 pounds in 1 month is very pragmatic, Mike. That's a very aggressive goal you have.
I know it is, Sandy, but I'm going on a starvation diet, and I'll banish all food from my daily routine. I'm sure I'll lose 20 pounds quickly.
And I'm pretty sure you'll end up in the hospital, Mike. A starvation diet is not the way to lose weight. Not only is it unhealthy, but studies show that you'll probably backslide and put the weight back on.
But I need to lose the weight soon. None of my clothes fit anymore.
Then go buy some new clothes.
But that means I'll have to spend money.
Some new clothes that fit will help you deal with the psychological aspect of respecting your body. Just think of the new clothes as a temporary solution.
Okay, I'll do what you say, Sandy. Thanks for the advice.
I'm glad to hear that, Mike. I want you to lose weight the right way.
So that's a good example there. And also, as we think about these realistic New Year's resolutions, I think one thing we've talked about a lot today is that change is a process. You just take it one step at a time.
Mm-hmm. I think in the feature, she made a really good point about if you want to lose weight, you need to do it the right way. And that's something we kind of forget. We get these big ambitions and we hear about some fancy diet that says, oh, you can lose 20 pounds in a month. And we think, that's what I'm going to do. But actually, if you do that, you're more likely to put the weight back on again later anyway. So you're kind of defeating your own self.
Yeah, we might say Mike's goal in that feature was drastic, 20 mm-hmm. pounds in 1 month. So, and you certainly don't want to go, some people do, they go on these starvation diets or near starvation diets, and that is very unhealthy for you. It damages your body in many ways.
And again, like we said also with exercise, it's important to ramp up to your plan. Start slow and then just add on and add on.
So this is the first day of this year, so you can look over any resolutions you made and see if you need to trim them down a little bit and just take it one step at a time. We're going to talk about this for the next couple of days, so I hope that you've had a good time thinking about it today, and I hope that you will listen in every day. Though, don't try to learn every word. Language is also a process, right?
Yes, it is, and I want our listeners to be realistic about their resolutions with learning English, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we'll see you when we come back with this subject again tomorrow. And we hope you're having a nice New Year's Day. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye.